Well, I said at the introduction that we're going to be talking about the events occurring in the United States and, of course, the economy and the instability, I guess you would say, thereof, of the economy is first and foremost on everybody's mind at this time, and people are in a state of somewhat of fear, and people are in a state of somewhat of panic and wondering, is my retirement account going to be all right, or is my pension going to be all right, or am I going to have to find another job? Is my job going to be secure? And all these different things that go into economic turmoil and economic instability. And I'm going to just teach a little bit today from a biblical perspective what I think is happening, what the Lord is saying to me is happening. And I know that there's many different opinions on this, and mine isn't the only one. And I have somewhat of a prophetic mantle, and I know that God is speaking through me, but I'm not the only prophetic voice out there. I'm not the only voice. So you judge prophetic words as to their truth and as to their veracity, you might say, and you can judge other people's voice and measure other people's voice in relationship to mine, and you put the picture together, because we all see in part, Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 13, we all see in part and we prophesy in part, and that is all we're capable of doing. We're not capable of seeing the whole picture. Only God himself sees the whole picture, and so no one person's viewpoint can give the whole picture. And yet God tells us as prophetic voices to speak of what he is saying to us, and I have on this radio program spoke what God is saying to me much over the last 2 or 3 years, and I will continue to do that. And so I see what is happening here in America from my point of view. I see it as a culmination of many things. One, it's a culmination of people's disregard for God's instruction on how to handle money. And people are living too much on debt. They're living too much on credit, which is rapidly shrinking and rapidly being wrung out of the economy. And when people base their whole lifestyle and their life, whether it's, you know, purchasing the things they need or purchasing entertainment or purchasing things they don't need, if it's all based on credit and stuff that has no real value, and all of that now is starting to evaporate and it's all starting to get wrung out of this economy. And so what's happening is a great retraction is going on in this economy, and the value of things are taking on new meaning, and every resource that has real value will take on a greater value and a greater meaning, and those things which are superfluous and have no real value in life and have just been things that people pursue out of emptiness and out of a desire to accumulate and out of a desire to have toys to constantly be playing with and toys to constantly be taking up their time, those things are going to be wrung out, and those things are going to be shook out. God says, yet once more, tells us in Haggai, yet once more I will shake the heavens and the earth. And that's what's happening right now here in America. Everything that can be shook is being shook. And part of that, as I said before, is because we have disregarded God's instruction. And I'm going to have some passages of Scripture here to read in just a minute out of Proverbs. And I encourage you to go through the book of Proverbs and read that, because there's a great deal of instruction there on how to take care of God's money, how to take care of the resources that God entrusts us with. And really, we're all just stewards here of the things God gave us, of the things God allows us to control and the things God allows us to have. We're all just stewards of those things. As Paul says, he came into this earth with nothing, and he's going to go out with nothing, and I think we're in the same position as Paul. We came into this earth with nothing. I know I certainly did, and I'm going to go out with nothing. That's pretty certain, too, that I'm not going to take a hearse with me when I go up to the cemetery, and even if I did, it wouldn't do me a whole lot of good. And so, you know, the things that we have, whether they're material resources or talents, abilities, measure of faith, or whatever it is God's given us, he's given it to us for us to be a caretaker and a steward of those things. And those talents and those abilities, we can convert those or translate those into money and money-making abilities so that we will have things that we need for ourselves. But the love of money, Paul tells us, the love of money, when he wrote to Timothy, he said the love of money is the root of all evil. And so too much has been transferred into Americans' love of money, their desire to just accumulate money, their desire to accumulate things. And instead of worshiping the created things, God wants us to worship the Creator. He says, worship me. I am one. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord God, and I do not change. And he wants us to worship him and not the created things. And so much of our enterprise and so much of our energy and effort here in America goes into lifestyles that end up we worship the created things. And, of course, God wants to bring correction. And so the only way that he can bring correction is to start to shake us in the way that really hurts us the most, and that is through the economy, and that is through our money. And so when money is our God, and money is the reason that we live, and money is the reason that we go from day to day to day, if that's the primary thing that motivates us, if that's the primary thing that keeps us going and keeps us revved up, when God shakes that idolatry, when God shakes that idol in our life and that God in our life, why, then there is going to be a lot of pain and a lot of moaning and a lot of tribulation and a great retraction. And that is what God is doing now, as he's shaking us to get that idol of money in its proper perspective. And we will get on our knees and worship the Creator instead of the created thing. Another thing that's happening is God is preparing us for the return of his Son, Jesus. Jesus is coming back, and he tells us over and over again in many passages in the Bible. I'm going to refer to one here, Matthew 24, and Jesus says he's going to come back. And the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, is basically a picture of what is going to happen in preparation on this earth for Jesus' return. And God wants to prepare us, and he wants us to get our hearts right with no spot or wrinkle. He wants us to be ready for Jesus to come back, and in order to do that, he has to shake the earthly systems that are built on man's wisdom and man's knowledge. In Matthew 24, Jesus will say in verse 5, many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Well, I'm going to just briefly interject here that the disciples in verse 3 were asking Jesus, when will this thing be, and what will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will this mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and its various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But in all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at that time many will fall away and deliver up one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved. Well, I'm going to point out a couple of things that I see happening in America today, and I think that this scripture bears it out. Number one, verse 6, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place. Well, I see a great alignment of the nations of the world aligning themselves according to end times prophecy and end time battles. I'm not going to go into end time prophecy here, but I just see the nations of the world beginning to align themselves very specifically and according to prophecy, Ezekiel 38, 39, Zechariah 14, and so the nations, Zechariah 12, 13, 14, the nations of the world are aligning themselves to prepare for end time battles. And so, in addition to that, verse 7 says that nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be many famines and earthquakes. I think if you check the number of earthquakes, you'll find that they're definitely on the increase. I know famine is certainly becoming an increasing thing worldwide, and I'm going to make a prophetic statement here that I believe a famine is going to come to America sometime in a not too distant future, that we're going to see an increase in the number of people who are hungry, even to the point of maybe great areas of the country running out of food. And so this is all in preparation to bring America to a place where they're crying out for God to intervene. They're crying out for intercession. They're crying out for people to stand in the gap to stop the plague and stop the famine and stop the earthquakes and the suffering. And Jesus said in verse 8, but these things are just merely the beginning of birth pangs. And of course we know that when a lady goes into birth pangs, that the pangs start out very infrequent, and they start out not too painful and not of too much consequence, but she knows that what is coming is going to be more severe, and she knows that what is coming is going to be more rapid and with less interval in between, less time to rest. And so I'm saying right now that we're in the beginning of birth pangs, and the birth pangs are going to become more frequent, they're going to become more intense, they're going to be more tribulation and more pain and stronger with them. And this is going to build, and it's going to build to the point where we're going to wonder if we're going to survive it, if we're going to wonder where our help is going to come from. And in verse 12, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And Jesus said lawlessness is going to increase. It's going to be increasingly hard for people to stay disciplined. It's going to be increasingly hard in times of famine and in times of great unemployment and in times of when police forces and social services are stretched to the limit. They're already stretched. It's going to be very hard for people to stay disciplined, and so lawlessness will increase. People's love for each other will grow cold. The light of the body of Christ, the light of the body, the church, will be the only light, and people will have to come to that light in order to feel the love that Christ has for them. In order to feel that love, the church is going to have to step up and be the light of the world, as God calls us to be, the light of the world, the salt of the world. And more than ever before, the church is going to be the beacon that will transmit that light to the world, and the beacon that will show the world not only the way to peace and comfort here in the physical realm, but also salvation for eternity. And so it's in a sense, it's a great time of opportunity for the body of Christ. It's a great opportunity for those preaching the gospel. It's a great opportunity because the harvest is ripe and the workers are few. And as God calls the workers out into the harvest, he's going to provide, you might say, the opportunity for great numbers of people to come into the kingdom. He's going to provide the opportunity for great numbers of people to be evangelized, because they're going to be desperate for the first time in many years, maybe in America's history, maybe since World War II. People are going to be really desperate to hear something that will give them some peace and give them some encouragement and give them some hope. And that message is the message of the gospel, not only for this earth, but for all eternity. Jesus said in John 14, and this is a passage of scripture that you could commit to heart, because it's a passage for times of tribulation. It's a time of trouble, and it's a time of winnowing, and it's a time of shaking. And Jesus said, talking to the disciples, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Then in verse 27 of John 14, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And so Jesus says, I'm giving you a different kind of peace than the world can give. The world doesn't have my peace to give. The world doesn't have peace. And in these times of duress and economic stress, we're going to need peace in our hearts. We're going to need peace in our life. Otherwise, that worry and that stress and that anxiety as we watch the stock markets go up and down with more erratic movement than it ever has, in the same way with commodity markets, in the same way with our own personal fortunes and our own personal retirement accounts. Get your eyes on Jesus, because that's where the peace is going to come from. Get your eyes on something that is solid and something that is rock solid and will not shake. And the only thing that is not going to be shaken by God is His kingdom. That is the only thing. And so, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to get your eyes on Jesus. Get down on your knees and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, take my heart. Take my life. Jesus, I'm stressed out. I'm wanting to go get drunk, wanting to go do drugs or whatever, whatever your crutch is that you've been leaning on. Jesus says, I came to set you free from that bondage. Jesus says, I came to set you free from the things that you've been depending on that aren't helping you, that aren't giving you any peace. Jesus said, I came that you would have peace and that you would have life, and that you would have it abundantly. And so no matter what the circumstances around us, no matter what the conditions on this earthly level, no matter what the systems of man are doing, whether they're falling apart or whether they're staying stable or whether they're accelerating towards destruction or whatever they're doing, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but as I give. Therefore, let not your heart be fearful, nor let it be troubled. So Jesus wants us to come into His fold. He wants us to come to Him. And as we prepare for the end times battle, as we prepare for the end times scenario, there's only one place, brothers and sisters, that's going to be safe. There's only one place that's going to give you the kind of peace and the kind of strength that you need to endure the things that are coming. And that is in the kingdom of God. Well, I'm going to go back and look at some scriptures in Proverbs that have to do with economics and wealth. And we're going to close with some of these just to let you know, as I spoke before, that the book of Proverbs is just rich in scriptures that have to do with money and riches and wealth. And so if you go back and just read those, I'm going to read a few of them just to give you some idea of what God has in the way of details in terms of looking at the economy, looking at your own place. I would say, you know, there are some practical solutions. I'm not an economist. I'm not a man who spends time giving instruction on economy, but there are some things you can do that are practical. One, get your debts paid off. Two, limit your purchases. Three, conserve your resources, whatever they are. And number four, provide your own food and that type of stuff. Grow a victory garden, whatever you can do to provide as much for yourself as you can. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. And so no matter what happens to the economy, no matter what happens to your own personal fortune, God says it's better to get wisdom than gold, and better to get understanding than silver. And so don't, even if you have some kind of scheme to trade in your crashing stock portfolio for gold or silver, just remember that God is the gold and silver that we can really rely on. God is the gold and silver that will really enhance our portfolio. God is the gold and silver that we can trust no matter what the circumstances here on this earth. And so He wants us to look to us. He wants us to look to Him, and no matter what the circumstances, that He is better than gold, that He is better than riches, that He is better than any wealth that we can obtain here on this earth, that the wisdom of knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, knowing that we have eternal life with Him, knowing that no matter what happens here on this earth, we are going to be in His hands, that He sees every detail of our life, and that we can trust Him, that we can trust Him no matter what, no matter what happens to us, even if He slays us, yea, we can trust Him. And so as Job spoke, so we too can speak. God, we trust You. We have faith in You. We believe in You. And if you're not in that place today, I just pray you open up your heart and let Jesus come in and take your heart, and He will give you the strength that you need. Well, God bless you today. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.